Okay, let's move on to water utilization. Folks, if you want to go back to that schematic of combined cycle power plant. And Dan, you want to just highlight what the key water utilization issues are for power generation?
Sure. Can I just speak to the, you know, when we talk about the different technologies, when we get into these more detailed discussions about water utilization, cooling towers, noise, you know, the way we approach this is it doesn't limit all technologies, and it is open, you know, biomass, gas fire generation, and each one of those technologies has different water utilization, different cooling tower needs. So that's why we kind of opened that up as well, because it does impact some of these other future discussions based on the technology, as well as, you know, the question about a 30 megawatt plant, how much land does that use? Well, it depends on which technology is being used. The biomass facility is going to consume more land than a 30 megawatt combined cycle plant burning natural gas. Is this the best slide for water?
Before you go on, just finish that thought. One of the things that Dan brought up is 30 megawatts. What was the smallest? We were talking about how low do you go? And you guys were talking about, was it
500 kilowatts.
Yeah, that point could be really loud. I mean,
not only loud, but starting to consume more water and things that, you know, we need to address in the ordinances.
Which are many of the concerns you're expressing. So we discovered in our discussions that the 30 megawatt is a number that we've heard, and we started at 75, but then to hear that you go down to 500 kilowatts, give me rates on the units, and we're already starting to have the issues. So we were trying to incorporate the concerns, but to be realistic about what else could be causing these, not just what that proposal was.
First, why don't you go down two more slides?
Is it worth referring people to the page, you know, with the water utilization? Or should we?
That's what I was.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking you wanted to talk about the technologies for a second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, just highlight the difference between using an open cooling tower or a closed. No, I'm sorry. Just you talk about the ways a power plant uses water. How that can vary based on the technology.
Sure. I think the slide that Nate just talked about was the one that really would draw the best picture. I know we saw it just a minute ago. So if we keep paging through. The Westbrook Energy Center.
Westbrook, you mean the Tiverton one?
No, Westbrook, the water balance.
Oh, okay.
I actually meant as a preface to the discussion, just so people could sort of see what's going on, just refer to the page of the ordinance.
Switch to the PDFs.
Okay. Yeah, a little hard to see, but this is a water balance for a 550 megawatt combined cycle power plant, which would be burning natural gas in a combustion turbine application. You can see on the left the city water supply from the city of Portland, and then the various uses. Don't really pay a lot of attention to that middle section. That's how they're treating it to get the water quality to where they can introduce it to their boiler, which is high pressure. So when you have high pressure boilers, you need to demineralize and treat the water. What the uses are going to be for boiler makeup. Again, water chemistry is important in these power plants and how they balance that water chemistry. There is a blowdown needed, so they're constantly replenishing a little bit of it. They don't build up the concentration of the chemicals that they're using to treat it. So you, on your boiler, your heat recovery equipment, you're going to have a blowdown stream, which is about 3% of the output of it. And of course, you'll have to make that up. That blowdown goes to they'll have to treat it before it leaves, but it will go to the city sewer. And that's pretty minor. The biggest source of makeup water and water utilization at most of these plants is the cooling tower, which is used in a power plant, traditional central power plant. Steam goes through the steam turbine and condenses. You need a way of running colder water through that condenser, and of course you need to reject that heat out of that cooling tower water. So this right here is an example of a large direct contact cooling tower where the water is sprayed in on the top, draws air up through, direct contact to cool it. You collect that cooler water on the in a basin and then recirculate it through. That's the type of tower where you see a big plume coming out the top, a lot of heat rejection. 80% of your makeup requirement for a power plant is going to come from that evaporation process, as well as the cooling tower requires blowdown and balancing of the chemicals as well. If it's a smaller power plant, you can get away with, actually it doesn't matter the size, you can get away with an air-cooled condenser, which you're not using that direct contact. It's not being discharged to the air. It's basically a large, large radiator. The problem is the bigger your system, for the same amount of cooling as compared to a direct contact, the air-cooled condenser is going to take up 2 to 3 times the real estate. And I think you saw that on that Tiverton photo where I pointed out the air-cooled condenser cooling tower. That is probably 3 times the size they would need for a direct contact cooling tower. If you got rid of the direct contact cooling tower, your makeup is actually pretty minimal. It's going to be probably 10% of the output. If you go to the next slide, it shows some of those makeup and blowdown strokes. So you can see the water coming in from the city, 2,430 gallons per minute. You look down at the bottom, or number 13, it'd be the next one, cooling tower makeup, number 14. So of the 2,430, 2,090 of it is for cooling tower due to evaporation and makeup for blowdown.
If folks are, I'm sorry, you good?
Yep, if we have the pictures of the different technologies now. Okay. And that's a combined cycle power plant, burning natural gas. Even if it was a 10 megawatt combined heat power plant with a reciprocating engine, the requirements, the needs are going to be very similar. The smaller you get, you may not need that cooling tower. You only need the cooling tower when you have a high amount of heat you're trying to reject. If this is a system in a plant that's going to go in as a district energy system where you're producing the electricity and you're generating hot water or low pressure steam that goes out to a district heating system connected to buildings for their heat, well, you're going to get that cooler water back. You don't need that cooling tower in that application because you're going to design it so that your system can take that water coming back from the buildings and then go ahead and reintroduce it to the system. The problem you have in that type of system is if you do have some contamination or problems where you're worried about the quality of that water coming back, well, you're not going to want that coming back, and you may have to use makeup water for that. But typically in a district energy heating system, you're going to get 80 to 90% of that water back. And again, in that application, you may not need that large cooling tower.